Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now! Trump's Easter Day message to Iran, quote, open the effing strait, though he used the word, you crazy bastards, or you'll be living in hell, unquote. Those were the words of President Trump, threatening to blow up more civilian infrastructure if the Strait of Hormuz is not reopened by Tuesday evening. Iran responded it would retaliate in kind and said the strait would never be the same. As the war enters its sixth week, we'll talk to Iranian-American analyst Trita Parsi of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. Then in the second front of the war, Israel's expanded evacuation orders in Lebanon north of the Litani River and continues to bombard the country. Over 1,400 dead in Lebanon, more than 120 of them children, a million have been displaced.
Someone who can barely afford their daily bread can't even buy a loaf, and then a plane comes and strikes? For what reason? Just because I'm sitting on my land? I will not leave. This is our land, and we will not give it up.
We'll speak with Human Rights Watch researcher Ramzi Qais in Beirut. But first to Tel Aviv, where Israeli peace activist Alon Lee Green was arrested Saturday, along with over a dozen others, during an anti-war protest of hundreds of Israelis.
Keep opposing and resisting this war. We will continue to oppose this war. Every Israeli must oppose and resist this war, against the war in Iran and the war in Lebanon.
We'll speak with Alon Lee Green just before he goes to court. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As the U.S.-Israel war on Iran enters its sixth week, President Trump's warning he'll bomb Iranian power plants and bridges by Tuesday if Iran does not reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Trump's threats, which would constitute war crimes, came in a profanity-laced Truth Social post on Easter Sunday, in which the president wrote, quote, Tuesday will be power plant day and bridge day, all wrapped up in one in Iran. There will be nothing like it. Open the effing strait, you crazy bastards, or you'll be living in hell. Just watch. Praise be to Allah, President Trump wrote, using the word the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps Naval Command said in a social media post overnight, the Strait of Hormuz, quote, will never return to its former state, especially for America and Israel, unquote. Just this morning, Iranian state media is reporting Majid Khatami, the intelligence chief of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, was killed in a joint U.S.-Israeli strike. Iran's Fars News Agency also reports the U.S.-Israeli coalition struck the South Pars petrochemical facility linked to the world's largest natural gas field, accounting for 70% to 80% of Iran's gas supply. In Israel, an Iranian missile hit a residential building in Haifa, killing at least four people. Iran's retaliatory attacks across the Gulf continue with power, water desalination, and oil plants hit in Kuwait and an oil facility targeted in Bahrain. Separately, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says he's revoked the U.S. residency of the niece and grandniece of the late Iranian military commander Qasem Soleimani. Meanwhile, U.S. Navy SEALs on Saturday rescued the Air Force colonel whose F-15E aircraft was shot down over Iran on Friday. It's the first confirmed loss of an American warplane over Iranian territory since the war began. It comes as residents of Mashhad are reporting difficulty breathing due to chemical pollution from U.S. and Israeli bombardment of the city's petrochemical factories Saturday. Iran says the strikes on the Mashhad petrochemical zone killed 5 people and wounded 170 others. On the same day, at least one person was killed in a projectile strike near the Bushehr nuclear power plant in southwest Iran. The U.S.-based human rights activist news agency says over 3,500 people have been killed in Iran since the war erupted, including at least 244 children. This is Karyun Haddad, a resident of Tehran.
They threatened a lot. Now, the infrastructure they threatened, they first gave a 5-day deadline, then a 10-day deadline, meaning there's still no news. They haven't been able to do anything. We defend our country. It's not like we want to abandon our country. Now, it's true that some people are with different coverings. I myself don't have a complete hijab, but I will never hand over my homeland to a people who are strangers to our country.
Israeli strikes across Lebanon Sunday killed at least 39 people as Israeli troops pushed deeper into southern Lebanon. Israel's ordered the expansion of its so-called buffer zone from the Litani River to areas north of the Zafrani River, displacing about one-fifth of Lebanon's population. Since Israel launched its war against Hezbollah on March 2nd, more than 1,400 people have been killed in Lebanon, including 126 children. This is Jamaat Salim Faran, who's now homeless after Israeli strikes on Tyre left his neighborhood in ruins.
Someone who can barely afford their daily bread, can't even buy a loaf, and then a plane comes and strikes? For what reason? Just because I'm sitting on my land? I will not leave. This is our land, and we will not give it up.
In Gaza, an Israeli drone fired 2 missiles at a group of civilians in Gaza City Sunday, killing 4 people, according to Palestinian health officials. The Gaza Health Ministry reports Israel's killed more than 700 people since last October's so-called ceasefire. On Sunday, Palestinians held a funeral in Gaza City for those killed in the Israeli airstrike.
You leave home and neither you nor your children are safe. Everyone says goodbye to the other before stepping foot outside the house, whether one is going out for errands, school, looking for water, looking for a livelihood. You tell me about a ceasefire, calm, entry of aid, opening markets. All of these are lies, 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 and ink on paper, if there is paper in the first place.
Israeli police forcibly dispersed an anti-war protest in Tel Aviv Saturday, arresting 17 people, even after Israel's high court ruled the demonstration could proceed. Hundreds of Israelis gathered to protest the government's war on Iran, with the court permitting a rally of more than 600 people. Police still moved to break up the protests, citing Iranian missile threats, and remove protesters from the square. Protests also took place in Haifa and Jerusalem. We'll go to Tel Aviv to speak with an organizer of Saturday's anti-war protests in Israel. We'll talk to activist Alonly Green, who was arrested. We'll speak to him just before he goes to court. Iranian intelligence agents arrested prominent human rights lawyer Nasreen Sotoudeh at her home in Tehran. Her daughter, Merave Khandan, confirmed on Thursday. 64-year-old Sotoudeh is renowned for defending activists, opposition politicians, and women prosecuted for removing their headscarves and has been imprisoned multiple times. She was recently sentenced to 33 years in prison and 148 lashes in 2019. She was out on bail for health reasons at the time of her arrest. Her husband, Reza Khandan, also a well-known activist, is currently held in Tehran's Evin prison. The University of Washington has demoted an Iranian-American international studies professor after he criticized U.S.-Israeli attacks on Iran and condemned Israeli settler colonialism. Arya Fani will remain an associate professor at the UW Jackson School of International Studies, but will no longer serve as director of its Middle East Center. He told the Seattle Times, quote, there's a chilling effect on not just my academic freedom, but that of my colleagues. Anyone who dares to speak out against the war and against aggression, he said. In Louisiana, federal immigration agents entered the Fort Polk military base and detained the wife of an Army staff sergeant just days after their wedding. 22-year-old Annie Ramos was born in Honduras and brought to the United States as a toddler. In late March, she married 23-year-old Matthew Blank in a ceremony in Houston as Blank prepares for an overseas deployment. In Texas, a lawsuit alleges a 3-year-old girl separated from her mother after crossing the U.S.-Mexico border was sexually abused in a foster home where she'd been placed by immigration officials. The girl's father says he tried unsuccessfully for months to be reunited with his daughter. He says he only learned of the abuse after he filed a habeas petition in federal court. In Wisconsin, federal immigration agents jailed the president of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee after accusing him of lying on his green card application. Salah Sassour is a Palestinian-born 53-year-old who has lived in the United States since 1993. He became a lawful permanent resident nearly 30 years ago. The U.S. accuses him of failing to disclose a conviction by the Israeli armed forces when he was a teenager living in the occupied West Bank. Sarsour says he never understood the charges the Israeli military presented against him in Hebrew and that he was tortured in Israeli custody. The Muslim Legal Fund of America is representing Sarsour in court. In a statement, the group said, quote, it's difficult to believe that DHS's position now is not rooted in a violation of his First Amendment right to speak out about the suffering of Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank, unquote. President Trump has proposed cutting tens of millions of dollars of funding to the Transportation Security Administration, the TSA, while privatizing security screenings at smaller airports. Trump's proposal, detailed in the White House's 2027 budget proposal, comes as the ongoing partial government shutdown at the Department of Homeland Security is now in its eighth week. The TSA was created in 2001. After private airport security contractors failed to prevent the 9/11 attacks, which saw hijackers carry box cutters, mace, and knives through metal detectors. President Trump is asking Congress for $152 million to reopen Alcatraz as a high-security federal prison. The request appears in the White House's proposed fiscal year 2027 budget, and would cover the first year of cost to rebuild the prison. Alcatraz closed in 1963 due to high operating costs and has been a national park since 1972. House Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi said, quote, rebuilding Alcatraz into a modern prison is a stupid notion that would be nothing more than a waste of taxpayer dollars and an insult to the intelligence of the American people, she said. Burkina Faso's military ruler has called on people in his nation to reject democratic rule, telling a state broadcaster, quote, we must tell the truth, democracy isn't for us, unquote. The interim president, Ibrahim Traoré, seized power in a 2022 military coup, toppling another coup regime that overthrew a democratically elected government just 8 months earlier. Traoré previously promised democratic elections in 2024 before extending his rule until 2029. Speaking to reporters last week, he said, quote, wherever Western powers try to establish democracy in the world, it's always accompanied by bloodshed. Unquote. A report from Human Rights Watch accuses Burkina Faso's military and its allied militias of committing war crimes and crimes against humanity for participating in violence that's killed more than 1,800 civilians while forcibly displacing tens of thousands. And in Colorado, About 3,800 workers at the world's largest meat processing company are returning to work following the first major labor strike in the U.S. meatpacking industry in over 40 years. Members of the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 7 walked off the job in mid-March to protest unfair and dangerous labor conditions at the JBS plant in Greeley. They're looking to address low wages, a lack of personal protective gear, and discrimination against the slaughterhouse's majority immigrant workforce. The union agreed to call off the strike after JBS agreed to a new round of contract talks set to resume on Thursday. To see our coverage of JBS, go to democracynow.org. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show in Israel, where at least 17 people were arrested Saturday as Israeli police violently cracked down on an anti-war protest in Tel Aviv, where hundreds had gathered condemning the U.S.-Israeli war in Iran. The arrest came despite an order by Israel's top court that allowed the demonstration to proceed. Israeli police still moved to break up the protests, claiming Iranian missile threats. Protests also took place in Haifa and Jerusalem. Haaretz reported a missile launched by Yemen's Houthis triggered a siren in Tel Aviv around the time of Saturday's demonstration. But police reportedly refused to take the arrested protesters to an underground bomb shelter. Alonli Green, co-director of the Israeli-Palestinian grassroots group Standing Together and an organizer of Saturday's anti-war protest in Tel Aviv, was among those taken into custody. He'll join us in a minute. But first, this is the video footage of his arrest.
Keep opposing and resisting this war. We will continue to oppose this war. Every Israeli must oppose and resist this war, against the war in Iran and the war in Lebanon. It's war that hurts the people of Israel. It hurts our rights, the dead, the children, the close business.
Alonli Green was arrested at the anti-war protest in Tel Aviv and released approximately 7 hours later. He joins us now on Democracy Now! We're speaking to you first, Alonli, because you have to appear in court right after this interview. First of all, explain why hundreds of Israelis, not only in Tel Aviv, also in Haifa and Jerusalem, are protesting this past weekend. Why you were out there, why you got arrested.
Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for having me. It's actually thousands of Israelis have gone out to the streets this week. And it's a protest that is growing in Israel. People know that this war will not bring us any safety, that this war is only causing harm to the people of the Middle East, to the Lebanese, to the Palestinians, to the Iranians, and also to the Israelis. We pay a price of destroyed families, people that are dying, houses that are being demolished. It is a reality of war. And this war is a war that was initiated by Trump and Netanyahu. And we resist this war because it's a forever war. Israel is moving from Gaza to Lebanon, to the West Bank, to Iran, and then it goes back to the same front. And they tell us that this is for our security. But in reality, we all pay a price and we all lose from this war.
Protesters held up photos, Alonli, of children who've been killed in Iran, in Lebanon, in Israel, in Gaza, and the West Bank. Can you talk about the connections between Israel's war in Iran and attacks on Lebanon, as well as Israel's settler violence in the West Bank and the continued killing of Palestinians in Gaza?
I think all these different fronts, all these different scenes are merging into one forever war that our government and governments have tried to keep alive in order to stay in power, in order to incite the people in our society against, you know, imagined enemies. They believe that if they will kill people in Gaza and then allow settlers to murder people in the West Bank and then attack in Iran and attack in Lebanon, the Israeli public will stay silent and that they will think that this is not a time for protesting. But I think the Israeli public is waking up. A lot of people are angry. It's been 3 years now of constant war. People are tired. People want different realities for their families. People lose their sons and daughters that are sent to kill and get killed in the army. And I believe that this is also an opportunity for the left wing in Israel to connect the struggle to the interests of the Palestinians, of the Lebanese, of the people of the Middle East, to the interests of the Israeli people, because the prices that people are paying is not the same price. I know that as an Israeli citizen, I'm not paying the price of a Palestinian in Gaza or a Palestinian in the West Bank, but the suffering of people in different degrees is still a suffering. And holding the pictures of those children lost their lives in Gaza, in the West Bank, in Lebanon, in Iran, and also in Israel, is a way to show that everyone is losing in a war. The only people that are benefiting something are people like Trump and Netanyahu, maybe some oil companies that are making a lot of profit from these wars.
Is the anti-war movement in Israel growing?
Yeah, it started with a few dozens of people on the first week. And now we are a few thousands of people. In the first week, there were 90% of support among the Israeli Jewish population of the war, and now it declined to 60-something support within 5 weeks. It's rapidly declining, and I think people understand that it's not like it's not like what the government is trying to sell us. They told us it's going to be a quick war. We will achieve, the democracy or securing the government of Iran falling down. And we see this is not the truth. Not only that they're not winning, but also if you claim you fight for the Iranian people, why do you attack their oil? Why do you attack your infrastructure, the economy? Why do you kill so many people in Iran? Why do you make 4 million Iranians refugees? I think those lies are slowly just being stripped away.
Are more Israelis refusing to serve in the army?
Well, in this war, we didn't see yet a case of a refusnik saying that they will not serve in the Iranian war, but you could see a lot of people that are in the reserve army saying that that's it. They're not going into Lebanon. They're not going back to Gaza. They're refusing. Our movement called on reservniks and soldiers to be holding a morality of keeping humans' lives, families, children in Gaza, in the West Bank, in Lebanon. I think that we need to remember that it's a tough atmosphere to be an Israeli that is resisting the war. I'm standing here in the court right now. In front of me, there's a group of right-wing mob activists that came here to arrest me, and they're trying to get my attention. People came to my home. We get arrested. It's not easy to do what we do, but we're trying to create the atmosphere of making it possible, making it normal, making it mainstream, to be saying that it's the patriotic thing to do, to resist the occupation, to support Israeli-Palestinian peace, to support the end of this forever war in Lebanon or Iran or the West Bank. And I think we are gaining and growing.
Since you brought this up, that you're standing right now in court right before you go in. In fact, this is a separate case than you being arrested this weekend. And I'm wondering if you can explain what happened last week when you were followed home by a group of right-wing activists and why you are in court today.
Yes, one other arm of the state to persecute us and to try and silence us is not only the police that is being violent and dispersing us in a very aggressive way. It's also organized right-wing groups that is chasing us, finding out our addresses, coming to our homes, attacking us, bringing all of a sudden in the middle of the night a few dozen people behind your apartment door, coming and blocking your car, finding you in the middle of the street. And this is a reality that is growing. They get the back of the police. They're never being arrested. They're never having to pay for their actions. So I'm trying to get a restraint order from court against a few of them. And this is maybe one of the only tools that we have apart from organizing and protecting ourselves.
I also wanted to ask you about what happened on Saturday. When you were arrested, you have the protesters being told that you can't protest because of public security. Yet when the sirens went off, you were held in a police bus. And while everyone else ran into shelters, you were not able to go because the police didn't let you out of the bus.
We weren't allowed. They claim that they're arresting us because we're violating the emergency measurements of the home front command, and we're jeopardizing ourselves. But then we weren't on the police bus. We were arrested. I was handcuffed, and then we all heard the sirens, and we told the police, allow us to go to the shelters. We are above the biggest shelter in Tel Aviv. Allow us to go off the bus and get into the shelter. And they said, it's your problem. You decided to protest in the middle of the war. And we started shouting at them and demanding to be protected from a missile that can hit us. And they really refused. Eventually, after the siren ended, we had maybe seconds before a hit, they allowed us to go to a lobby of a building full of glass windows, which is not a secure situation. And they told us to lie on the ground and to be maybe protected. This is a risk of our lives. This is something that is breaking also the law. No one is allowed to prevent you to be in shelter while there's a siren. And the police is breaking the law in Israel.
On Sunday, Knesset member Eman Odeh, chair of the Hadash Ta'al, wrote on social media, quote, "The police's conduct yesterday at the anti-war demonstration, alongside a blatant violation of the High Court of Justice ruling, is yet further proof that we're in the midst of a historic crossroads. This is an existential struggle for the future here, for freedom of expression, for democratic values, and for the right to live with dignity, security, and equality, and above all, to stop living by the sword and to strive for true peace. I strengthen and stand in solidarity with thousands of citizens who went out yesterday to demonstrate despite everything and who stood firm in the face of the fascists. Next week will already be tens of thousands for the more they suppress and silence us, the more we will multiply and the more we will break through." If you can explain, Loni, what the Hadash Tal party is, who Alex Odeh is, and his reference to the high court saying you could protest.
Ayman Odeh is the head of Hadash Tal party in the Knesset, which represent the Palestinian minority in Israel. There are around four political parties that represent the Palestinians in Israel, which comprise 20% of the entire population, the entire citizens of Israel. And he's the leader of the left-wing party among these parties. And he refers to a discussion in a hearing in the Supreme Court of Israel, asking the question whether it's legal to have the right to demonstrate even though there's war. We come to the Supreme Court and we tell them there's always war in Israel. You say it can last for months, for years. Does it mean that we never have the right to protest against the war? So we brought it as a constitutional question to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is now in discussion. It will rule on Thursday around the question whether it's still legal and we still have the right to protest, even though there are special security and emergency measurements of the home front command in Israel. They said to the police that they are not allowed to disperse us until there's a discussion, until there's a ruling. But the police acted upon the demand of the minister, Ben-Gvir, who demanded to see arrests.
You know, I confused Eman Odeh's name with Alex Odeh, the 41-year-old Palestinian-American activist and poet who was killed decades ago in 1985 in Los Angeles by a pipe bomb that exploded as he entered his Santa Ana, California office. The FBI classified the bombing of his office. It was the office of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee as a domestic terrorist attack linked to, quote, Jewish extremists. I want to turn to Ofer Kassef as we leave, because you have to go into court, a member of the Israeli Knesset, like Ayman Oda, with the Hadash Ta'al coalition. He says he was assaulted by police during the dispersal of Saturday's anti-war protest. This is Ofer Kassef speaking out against the war on Democracy Now! Last month.
Those governments of those imperialists and their partners is the real reason is simply to do whatever they can in order to achieve their own economic and political interests at the expense of the peoples, including the people of Iran and the people of Israel. Unfortunately, neither of them is really interested.